Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Worship the Lord with the youth tonight, saints.
Jesus,
can you just close your eyes and sing this with them?
Above all names,
we love you, Jesus.
Beautiful Savior,
praise your name, Lord God.
Glorious Lord.
The Bible teaches us that He inhabits the praises of His people. The Spirit of God living and dwelling in you. You must need to and learn the need of worshiping Him in spirit and truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
That's the only name given to men for salvation. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Beautiful Savior.
Thank you, Lord God.
Glorious Lord.
Hallelujah.
Emmanuel. God is with us.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful presence. Amen. It's wonderful to come to the house of the Lord and dwell in the spirit of unity in the mind of Christ. The Bible says, you know, you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. And when you have a true love for the fellowship in the brotherhood, there's hope. Amen. While we're standing together, let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. We trust that the Lord will speak to us tonight. If we come with a hunger for the word, He will speak to us. Amen. And you say, well, you're a preacher. The Bible said and teaches very clearly that it's not the man of God that speaks, but it's Christ in him, the God that speaks. As if he's yielded himself to the Lord. Amen. And it'll show up. The Bible said, you know, they're called of God because they turn people away from their sin. You know, we look in the homes of America today and they've taken the discipline out. Psychology teaches them not to discipline children, but the Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. We believe in corporal punishment done in love, discipline. The Bible said, beat them, but don't kill them. Children need to learn obedience and that there's consequences for irreverence and disobedience. The Bible says very clearly in the New Testament doctrine, it says that unless you're chastened of the Lord Jesus, disciplined by Him, then you're a bastard child, which means you have no father. I know they've taken the word bastard and turned it into, you know, a bad language, we may say. And to call somebody that would be speaking improperly. But to define it and use it for biblical purposes to say that a man is a bastard child means that he doesn't have a heavenly father. He's not born of God. God doesn't chasten or discipline them. When you go through your life living in your self-will and there's no discipline or chastening that comes from above, then your destiny is eternal damnation. The Bible said the man of God is thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long-suffering. So we have to learn that God did send a fivefold ministry into the earth for a purpose, to perfect the saints, to bring them to perfection and unity in one mind and one accord, that we could walk and be led by the Spirit of God. Christ perfected you by his works at Calvary. He made you perfect. Amen. The minister is sent. How could the minister be sent for the perfecting of saints if Christ already done it? You see, it's where we start differentiating. You're made perfect, hid away in him, but we're going to bring the perfection to light, not for your salvation, but for the salvation of others, that we could see the good works of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Don't forget that. Neither win souls or wise. Amen. That's why we do the things that we do, because we're looking to win a soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of your word and the mind of Christ. Father, help us tonight as we surrender to you and yield this service to you, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for the music, the unity thereof. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God. Help us to reach the heavy laden, the weary, the lost, the downtrodden, the broken. Father, let us be numbered with the soul winners. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. If we could only enter into the mind of Christ and the mind of Revelation, time would go in a snap of the fingers and we would find ourselves watching the horizon darken outside. And we would be over here in the morning hours watching the sun rise back up. Watch it set over here in the west, and then we would watch it rise up back over here in the morning, and it would seem like just a moment. Brother Chuck and Brother Pete and Brother Andy, some of the brethren, John, some of the ones that were at Bethlehem at one point of time, they could remember going down into a basement with Brother Pike, down below ground, no windows, no anything, so he had no comprehension of time and things. Most of the brethren didn't wear watches and things, no clocks on the walls. And man, there had been times I'd gone down in the morning. Brother Pike be going into things and stuff. And he'd say, well, brother, I think I'm going to ease on over the house a little bit. You come out the door and it's dark. Go, oh, wow. Yeah, I thought, where did the time go? It's just like a moment. Amen. But if you're not in the mind of Christ and the mind of flesh and humanity, church would be a terrible place to be. It'd be ever so boring and dull and dry. But boy, when you have a hunger for the word and a thirst for his word. You know, when you're hungry, you might go to McDonald's and it sounds so good, an old quarter pounder. But if you just got done eating something else somewhere, whatever it was, and you're filled up, you know, the steakhouse isn't going to look good to you or appealing if you just walked out of another place and filled to the full. No matter what the food was, it just ain't going to look appealing to you. But the Bible teaches us we must have a hunger and a thirst for his word and righteousness. Amen. You know, brethren, I think of so oftentimes, and I think of the prophetic utterances of the Bible, of the way things would be in the end time, the condition of man, the condition of humanity. You know, it's so clear in the Bible, it says gross darkness. And it's taken many, many years to change the way we think. I like when Sister Mary Jo came, Brother Jeff's aunt, his mother's sister, she came, and she came through the door of this little church, and she goes, this is what I remember church being like. This is the way it should be. She may have different convictions than we have and different things, but she did recognize something that she said, this is the way it's supposed to be. And the thing is when we look at those kind of things and hear those kind of statements, you know, we think of the difference of a child today and the difference of when I was a child. You know, I'm 58 years old. But I think of the differences of school today education. You know, I wasn't fortunate enough to be raised in a Christian home. I went to church with some neighbors and went to church camps and different things. But I think of the differences of the transformation that we could say, or the changes of organized religion. You know, the mind of God has no change, but things have changed. I remember Brother Pete was saying when he was out in Texas, he would hear about, you know, some of the old timers talking about, man, I remember this day and this is the way church was. You know, and he heard these testimonies of things, and he came to a place called Little Bethlehem, and he goes, wow, I'm experiencing what those people were talking about. Why has the church changed when the Bible said, woe unto you that are given to change? The Bible says not to remove the old landmarks, not to do away with the traditions of the elders. But then yet, you know, we've seen so much change, and then yet we've adapted to many of it. I don't know exactly the age of this Sister Mary Jo, but I could tell you that it was probably the same when she was a child in school. The girls wore dresses. What's wrong with pants? I didn't say there was anything wrong with them. I'm just talking about the change of things, the way things have changed. And when I was a kid in school, they let us wear short pants one day a year. They called it Bermuda Day. But they had to be to the knee. Nowadays, it's a common attire for children to wear short pants to school. Well, is there anything wrong with that? I'm not discussing the wrongs or the rights. I'm discussing the changes. Why was it wrong when I was a child? And then why is it considered not wrong today? And then yet, so if I say it's not wrong, that means I have adapted to the change that has been put before me. Is that correct? I was in a discussion with a minister here not many days back, and he was talking about, he goes, I remember when you couldn't wear a colorful shirt, that the minister had to wear either black or white, or a white shirt was only the only kind of shirt they wore, black jackets and different things, and they couldn't wear anything colorful. Well, our pastor, Brother Pike, said that the Lord showed him it was time for glorification. Brother Pete was talking about that the other day, and to show the glorification, the beauty of it. So then we say, well, there's changes that are made in the Lord. And he said, won't you give unto change? But then yet there's a transformation in the mind. But we always find that anything that's happening in God, there's another thing happening on the mirror image. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if I'm walking north looking at a mirror, the guy that's looking back at me is walking south. It's the opposite. If I raise my right hand, he raises his left. If I raise my left, he raises his right. If I wink my right eye, he winks his left eye. Everything is absolutely opposite. Now, if he starts doing the same thing, we got a problem. Scary, huh? But it's a mirror. Satan, you know, will show a mirror. It's usually the opposite of God. Now, when we think in the scriptures where the Bible talks about, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. We're going to read some scripture tonight. So there's another mind. Now, as I start speaking, I'm saying the mind of man is changed, but the mind of God doesn't change. Man's mind is given to change. And he says, woe unto you. And things are brought to us and brought to us and brought to us, and pretty soon our convictions change, our understanding changes, and we sometimes like the changes. You know, if we would go into the scriptures and read about the expectations of a Christian, a born-again Christian, he says to equip yourself in a mind to suffer. He teaches us this. He said, they hated me first, they're going to hate you also. But the Church of America today isn't hated because they say God loves you just the way that you are. God accepts you just the way that you are. Well, why would you hate that? This is why Catholicism for so many years has been a very popular religion. They'll take you just to, you know, you live this way and you're taught that you're a sinner and you sin every day, and you go to this guy over in a booth and you confess your sins and everything's okay. Count your beads, say a couple prayers, and go on back to the way you're doing. Well, that sounds pretty good, isn't it? I mean, if I had to pick and choose a way to heaven, I think that's pretty good. Yay, I like this, you know. But you see, I don't want to pick and choose. I want to follow the absolute, the Word of God. And you say, well, they have an absolute too. The Catholics, they got an absolute, the Word. But you see, they changed it. They changed the word and modified the word. And many times in speaking to denominational people, I'll tell them, I say, well, look, why did your church alter this? And why did they alter this? And why did they change this? If I want to talk about the Mormon church, there was a time in the Mormon church that if you were black, you couldn't be a bishop in the presbytery of any way, shape, or form. And if you were black, you were cursed. And their teaching of the seven celestial worlds, a scripture in the Old Testament about celestial bodies. And they say these are seven different worlds. And the worse you live on this world, you go to another one of these worlds or a planet. And if I was light-skinned here and I was bad on this side, I'd go to another planet and my skin color would be darker. And I keep transformating until death or separation or a finality, or I keep going the other way until I become a god. You see, they're so close to a revelational truth, because the Bible talks about light and darkness, talks about the transformation of mind, but that's all happening right now. The purgatory doctrine with the Catholics, you know, it's hinged on a truth, but there's not a time after death of purgatory. We're right now in the mind of making a decision. We're making a transformation right now. We're making a decision. We're killing one mind out and letting another one live. You say, it all has to do with the mind? Sure it does. Let's read some word about that. Again, the Bible said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. How many have got the mind of Christ? How many know what the mind of Christ is, I should say? You know, and then we can start challenging you. Now, let's talk about mind for a moment before we read some scripture. You know that my previous life, I could say, before ministry, was aviation. So I could say, I want to talk in the mind of an aviator tonight. I could say certain things to you tonight that if you weren't in the mind of an aviator, you wouldn't have any idea what I would be talking about. I could talk about so many things in the world of aviation, and I could speak it. Brother Pete went to the airport with me one time, and I went to get a mule. Now, if he was a farmer and we went to the mule, he'd expect me to have a horse trailer to pick up a mule. But a mule is a common terminology in mechanics of aviation. It's something that you would hook up to this airplane to, you know, to run a hydraulic test on it. And it's just a terminology that's used. But you see, when you're in the mind of an aviation mechanic, he would have known that. You think, what in the world do you need a mule for? But see, it's another mind. You see, in Christianity, sometimes we get in the mind, we could be speaking things that would seem so foreign to a person that's not in the mind of Christ. If I wanted to talk to you about a doctor, I mean, you go to a doctor's appointment and they start talking this lingo like, hey, dude, wait a second, you know, could you bring it down to my language? And, you know, instead of saying it's, they've got some big name for it. I guess that's what we got to prove that we got an education in college for, you know. Bring it down to my language. You know, let me understand it in my way, my term. You see, as a minister, sometimes we got to do that. We got, as Jesus said, I condescend to men of a less estate. In other words, he's got to come down into that mind, to that man, that he could bring spiritual revelations to him, that he could change him, or he could transform his mind. You see, the battle's in the mind. The warfare's in the mind. The travail's in the mind. You lose your battles in your mind. Now here's the thing, we go to college and we go to school and we get educated to strengthen this mind. And the things that we get educated usually in colleges and things are the very things that put us in the wrong mind. Are you against education? Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to go get in an airplane with somebody, I hope they're educated. If they're going to fly you somewhere. Come on now. If you're going to find yourself in a doctor and you lay on that table and this guy starts rending the flesh with that scalpel, I hope he's got some education. Amen. I'm not against education. But the Bible said it's the carnal mind that's enmity with God and death. Can I be a doctor and be carnally minded? Sure I can. Can I be a pilot and be carnally minded? Sure I can. I could be carnal minded and flip burgers at McDonald's. No disrespect. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just talking, if I'm talking trades and you think that, you know, you have to be in this, but everything takes a mind to know how. Go get a job at McDonald's. You never worked before. They're going to start training you. You cook this burger for so much time on this time, you flip it over at this time, you wait for the beeper to go off before you pull the fries out. Come on now, you got to learn. You got to get into a mind of a McDonald's employee. So it's a mind. It doesn't matter what it is. So we get an educated mind. And then when we get so highly educated in our mind, we don't have room for the mind of Christ because we know how to think. But the Bible said to enter into his kingdom, you got to become as a child. We want to exercise dominion with our mind as a man. We want to exercise superiority, preeminence through education. We get certificated, we get diplomas, we get degrees and different things, and it puts us into better pay scales and better things. Again, I'm not against education, but what I'm saying is I'm talking about how we have taken and replaced the mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with another mind of education. See, some people that are highly educated, they get offended when you hear talk like this. But I've been educated in many things. I could talk about degrees. I could talk about things that people have to do great lengths of study for. And you know what? They become an enemy to God. Because I didn't need God. I got a good job. I got a good mind. You could drop me off in any part of the country. I had so many different skills that I could go to work immediately. Are you boasting, Brother Rom? Well, that's what we do in the natural mind. We're educated. We could do whatever. I could work, I could hold a job, I could make money. I can make more money than you. I could drive a faster car, a bigger car, and I could fly a faster airplane and own a bigger airplane than you. I know that mind. I've been educated in it. And I lived in that world. I found something out about that world. It all goes back to the same thing. As the great Apostle Paul said, all of my learning was dung. I don't think you need an interpretation of what dung is. All of my education is dumb. I mean, this man was a very, very learned man. And then we find the Lord Jesus talking to Nicodemus, another very learned man, a devout man, the Bible teaches. Well known there amongst the Jews. And he talked to him about being born again. He said, what do I do? Enter back into my mother's womb? He's thinking, you know, a great leader of Israel, and you're going to ask me such a stupid thing as that? I mean, I paraphrase a little bit. Enter back into my mother's womb. But then yet, honestly speaking, we talk to the most religious and educated, and most of them don't even really understand what it is to be born again. We've had Billy Graham teach us that you come up and say this prayer, and you walk away after saying this prayer, and he says, now you're born again. That's like telling every man and woman to get married and go into the marriage relationship to consummate, you say, a marriage or whatever, and you say, well, now you're expecting to have a baby. It doesn't work that way. There's some that go through the marriage relationship over and over and over and don't bring forth a child. It's more complicated than the relationship. Being born again is more complicated than just saying a prayer. And you say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. You know, don't remove simple faith. I'm not. Just as much as I could say a man and woman come together in the marriage bed, undefiled in all of its ways according to the Bible, and they come together in a relationship, I could say it's that simple. That's how you have a child. But then yet some don't. Because there's other complications. Power of the blood seed. A barren womb. Could be in problems with the egg, the ovaries. It could be problems with so many things. And they never conceive. And there's people that sit in churches every day. You know, we're a holiness people. People say, well, you know, hey, I dress right according to your standards and doctrine. And I say, well, praise God for that. But the Bible said that they're whitewashed sepulchers. The way you dress doesn't make it into heaven. The way you look doesn't do it. But it does say something about you. We got into just a brief discussion today, just for a moment, but we were talking about profiling. You know, they make a big deal that people don't like to be profiled. Let me tell you something. You know, the school I come from, the education in my background, if you come to me for a job, I'm going to be doing some profiling. Because you could look a certain way and you could turn business away from my establishment. If you're going to be cooking burgers for me, if we're going to go to that, and you're going to be flipping burgers for me, and you show up at my place and your hair's all nasty, you got grease under your fingernails that look like they ain't been cleaned. Come on now, I'm sorry, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be saying, look, dude, you're going to turn business away. Maybe I think different than you. Me and my son was standing in a line at Kentucky Fried Chicken. This old gal come up, and she had this, I don't know what you call that stuff. I mean, looked like it took 16 weeks to braid it all up. Looked like everything else was living in there also. I'm sorry, I'm profiling. She reaches up and scratched her old head like this, scratching her head. Can I help you? We looked at her, and we both turned around and walked out the door, man. I could see the stuff that's coming off that going under them fingernails when she grabs my chicken. I lost most of you right there, man. But I'm just telling you, as a businessman, I would say we need to do something about this. This is not the conduct. You turn business away because you're nasty. You see, so we have in the conduct. But now I'm talking to you as sons of God. We're supposed to be winning souls into the kingdom. So why do we profile? And why do we look? Because there's going to be people looking at me. What do you got to offer me? I shared this story. I went up here to look at a bus. The guy said, oh man, I'm a preacher. I said, well, praise God. You know, I love to hear that. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get to meet a brother in the Lord. So I go over here. It wasn't too far away before I bought this one over there at the house. I go over there. And the guy walks out the door with no shirt on. Tell you what, man, this guy could have, you know, he could have had braiding done up there. I mean, he was one hairy man. You jealous, Brother Rob? Well, you ain't ever going to know. You know, you ain't going to see me with my shirt off for you to know. I might look like a gorilla under there. But he comes walking out the door, no shirt on, cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And see, that wasn't my expectation of a preacher. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, the Bible said, if eating meat offends your brother, not to eat it. But I eat meat all the time. But if it offends you, it's wrong for me to eat meat. So if I'm offended, he's wrong. But see, you don't want to go into that mind. You want to make me wrong because I shouldn't be offended for that. But see, this is the way we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and we learn that we're winning souls. So you could dress properly and dress right and go to hell. Your dress isn't what's going to make it, but your dress will help you win a soul into the kingdom of God. Let's read some scripture a moment. I got a few scriptures I want to talk to you about tonight. The Lord will give us a little bit of time here. We don't have no problem going to a ball game and sitting on an old hard wooden bench in the wintertime, snow and stuff, and watch kids chasing a ball up and down a football field. We'll sit there and think nothing of it. It rains, gets cold, but the church ain't air conditioned just right, and the pew ain't soft enough, and they go more than 15 minutes, we're upset. Different mind. You want to see a jerk, try to get me out there at a football game or a baseball game and watch that. I'm going to be more restless than your heathen self in church. Come on now. I just don't got no time for that. Well, you better than them? No, I just ain't got time for it. Bible says when you come in, put childish things away. You know, football and baseball and those things for little children. They will go out here and play in the yard. That's okay. But I'm not going to go pay some guy $1.5 million a year to chase a ball around. Then he go get 15 women and get high and do all the stuff and all that and support that. I just don't want no part of it. If you want to do that, that's your business. Get with it. Give him your whole paycheck. Amen. I know better than that guy at the ball game, brother, and it's just not my desire. I have no desire for it. It doesn't do nothing for me. You know, I used to be an aviator. I used to love air shows, but I don't go to them. I don't have, that's not my interest no more. So, I'm not going to find fault with the guy that's there, but I'm going to say, don't find fault with me. Amen? 1 Peter, let's start there, first chapter. Let's go to verse 13. Now, this is the word of God. It's not for private interpretation. We should have enough common sense, we could say, to read the word and see the word. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, whom without respect of person judgeth according to every man's works, I think you should have some works, knowing this way he judges us, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers. I'm going to go back up to 13 in just a moment. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, whom by him do you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The word's rich. I'd like to keep on reading, but I'm going to try to expound on a few things to you. So we go back here and it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." When we think of sober, you know, as a rule, we in American English and in our language, we think of sober as a man that's not intoxicated. So now if we're going to try to understand the soberness here for a moment, I'm not happy to share with you that I've not always been a Christian, so I know what it is to be in a drunken state of mind. I talked with a police officer up here in town, and he called alcohol liquid courage. He said, you take a little frail kid, a little 16-year-old boy, and he goes out drinking with his buddies, and they pull him over in the car, or they find him in town drunk. And he said, now this little guy that probably in a sober state of mind wouldn't want to fight with your sister. But he's got this drunken state of mind. He's ready to take on the whole police force. Isn't that sad? I can say I've witnessed it. Amen. I've been that jerk before. I don't like to admit to being that jerk, you know, but yes, I have been that. You see, but in a sober state of mind, you wouldn't be ready to take on the police force. We know what the end of the matter is. You're going to get slammed down in the blacktop. You're going to get handcuffed. You might get sprayed in the face with mace. You might get whacked in the head with a billy club. And you might find one of these guys a little finger trigger happy. You might get shot. So we know the end of the matter for that kind of foolishness. But again, here it's expressing to be sober. And it's not even referring about alcohol. Because we could be so carnally minded and so much intoxicated with our own will that we just ramble through this world like a drunken man. And we don't even know the mind of God whatsoever at all. A drunken man loses his mind of sanity, stability. You lose all conscience and all morals in a drunken state. You don't care about God. You don't care about your wife. You don't care about nothing. You don't care about your job because you're in an ill state of mind. And we could be so drunk on the things of the natural mind and the carnal mind, brethren, that we miss God altogether and we stumble through this world and don't have any concern for eternity. When the Bible said to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Amen. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust. According to the former lust. Something beforehand. Not fashion ourselves that. So I'm talking, if you've been born again and come into this other mind, then we're not fashioning ourselves after the former. But then yet we spend so much time in education, so much time in this world learning to think like the rest of the men. We're in a society today, they call it politically correct. And if you're going to be politically correct, you know what politically correct people do? They all think the same way. And you know, if you're in the mind of Christ, they hate you. They don't like it. The politically correct minds, it's okay for man to marry man, woman to marry woman. That's their business. It ain't none of your business. And now we got preachers that are accepting that and saying, it's okay. That's the way God made you. God loves you just the way you are. That's foolishness. God said he's angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. He goes on to even continues on and he says, I'll laugh at you on the day of your calamity. He opened up the earth and swallowed up 30-some thousand of his elect children coming out of the wilderness of his own elect children. And here's what he goes on to say. When he looked at his beloved son hanging on the cross of Calvary that the Bible said was beat beyond recognition, when they plucked his beard, his face was so swollen. When they jammed the Catholic Church has got, you know, a little crown of thorns around his head, all pretty, a couple little drops of blood. It wasn't that way. I've been over there in Israel and looked at those thorn trees. They're about this long, those thorns. And when they wove that thing around, I'm telling you, they jammed it down over his head. And I can promise you that it ripped all the way down to his skull and the blood was running in his eyes, in his ears. It said they plowed his back like a field. The cat of nine tails when it would take and wrap around him and they'd rip that thing back. It was one thing hidden, but when they would pull that thing back, the glass and the steel and the things that was in this thing, it would just rip flesh off of him. His back plowed like a field. He was a bloody mess. They drove the nails in his hands and in his feet and pierced his side. He wasn't a pretty sight. But this is what our Lord and God said. He said, if this is what I will do to my only beloved Son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? Come on now, saints. But we've got this mindset, not the mind of Christ, not the sober mindedness of Revelation of Jesus Christ. We got a mindset that God loves us despite of ourselves. No matter what we are, He made us this way, and He's going to accept us this way. That's the biggest lie from hell that ever come. God can't stand you in your first birth. Even in Old Testament doctrine, He said that He repented, that He even made man. That's what He said. Esau was still in his mother's womb, and the Lord said this. He said He hated him. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He wasn't even born yet, but God hated him. You know why? Because He saw his life in the foreknowledge. God knows your thoughts. He knows how many times your heart beat, how many hairs are on your head, how many times you breathed in and breathed out. And then yet these ones that prophesied in His name, they cast out devils in His name, great preachers, and they stand before Him. It's recorded in the Bible. He said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. But wait a minute, Lord, I prophesied. I cast out devils. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And what did He say to them? He said, I never knew you. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that they took that man, these demons, and they cast him into the lake of fire. You see, that's the destiny of all men. He said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Bible said, make your calling and election sure. And we go through this life trusting in our intellect, trusting in our education, trusting in our brilliance. You know, if you could come to understand suffering, the Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. And sometime God has to allow you to suffer. You see, people take a Brother Jeff back here and they think, oh, how terrible, man. You know, this man went to prison. This is the best thing that ever happened to him. He come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he could have maybe turned 18 and went to college and got a college education and maybe be one of the doctors with the most promising hope right down there in Atlanta right now. And he'd be working over here at one of the finest medical clinics, and he'd been through all this education and be nothing but more than on his way to hell because he doesn't know God. I could still be back out flying airplanes and being involved in aviation, a very lucrative business, and running with the millionaires and rubbing elbows with them and be on my way to hell. But sometimes God's got to knock you down and strike you down. Sometimes He's going to put you through bankruptcy. Sometimes He's going to put you through suffering. Sometimes He's going to put you through the automobile accident stuff for He could reach you and get a hold of your mind. Gird up the loins of our mind. We got to learn to think in the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So what mind are you in? See, I was in an aviator mind. I had to kill it. You see, you could get into a mind and you could deny the mind of Christ. You could deny it. And you'll find yourself in bad trouble. Brother Chuck, if we put up on the board over here, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. If I come back to each and every one of you tonight and I brought a blindfold back and I tied it on your eyes, I said, let's go walking. You're going to learn out real quick what walking by faith is, huh? But what do? We all go by our sight. We've learned to observe. We learn to look. We learn to see. And we make our decision. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches that we got to walk in the Spirit. And we got to have spiritual eyes. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you do not see. And He was talking to people that were looking at Him. A group of people, just like right now tonight, I say, though you have eyes, you do not see. And they're looking, I said, look, I'm looking at you. What are you talking about? So we're talking about, I have a mind, and then there's the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. Not my mind, but the mind of Christ. So then I say, hey, I see perfectly well. I had to get some help. But I can see with these things real good. But He says, though you have eyes, you don't see. So He's telling me that I need to have a different set of eyes than what I have here. He's telling me, though you have eyes, you do not see. Though you have ears, you do not hear. So I got to have a different set of hearing. But then yet I've perfected and honed and tuned these eyes and this hearing. I'm educated, I learned, and I went to school and I was educated and I learned. I've got street smarts. I've been around for a little while. I understand things. I understand how cons work. I've been conned. I've been robbed. I've been cheated. So I got some education in them things. Amen? Oh, I got some street wisdom now. Boy, I'm smarter than that now. Well, let me ask you, do you think Jesus was a fool? We know better than that. But then yet, he had chose 12 and one was a devil and one of them was carrying the money bag, the devil himself. Was Jesus blind? Was he a fool? Absolutely not. He knew exactly what was going on all the time. He knew it would have been better if that man had never been born. So, you know, we have to learn what the Bible's teaching us. It said that the eternal things are invisible and the temporal things that we see are visible. And you put all of your life for the things that you see, for the things that you touch, for the things that you hold. You give your life to it. You know, man, if you would just take a step back and look at man, they're kind of ignorant. You work and 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 you save and you save and you save and you die and your kids frolic it off on dope. That's average kind of thing with men. I've seen so many men work and they saved and they struggled and built the homes and businesses and I watched their children bring it down overnight when God said he could bring a nation down in a day. You know, you talk about this big, great, mighty America, God could bring it down just that fast. I watched a couple airplanes with a couple ragheads fly them into some buildings right there. And them things come down, shut America down. I mean, to tell you, everything come to a stop. You say, it wasn't quite that way. The airways stopped. Man, there's thousands of airplanes there. Man, they shut them all down, put it down. So if man could do that with a box cutter and shut the nation down, what, man, you're going to have a question about God doing it in a day? It don't take much. There's people in some of them other countries that are used to bloodshed on their soil. They're used to watching buildings come down. They're used to hearing the bombs and the missiles go over. You ain't used to that here in America. But it's coming your way by the will of God. It's God's will to burn America to the ground. That's his will, thus saith the Lord. I know you ain't going to like that. But I'm telling you, he's angry with the wicked and he pursues them off the face of the earth. And the chastening of the Lord's got to come to America for the salvation of a few. It's the only way he's going to reach America. He's already tried. When Katrina hit, there was a real rebellion that come forth. And that was the Lord. That was the hand of God. They said, hey, we're queers. We're going to be dancing in the streets. And if you don't like it, don't come. God said, I don't like it. And he showed up in the whirlwind. God is the one that orchestrated them ragheads behind the airplane wheels. I tell you, the Bible said, evil can't come to the city lest I send it, saith the Lord. So the thing is, God orchestrated it. And you say, what kind of God are we serving? That was a love tap. Those towers coming down. Let me tell you about God. He said, who are you to find fault with me if I have one vessel to honor, another to dishonor? God could have took those 3,000 people and he could have said, you know what? I'm going to take their life right now to reach for the millions in America. I'm going to sacrifice them. He could have brought all them in. If he put them all in hell, he's still a just God. But I'm telling you, you don't know God. If he chose to bring them in by his mercy and his grace, because if I'm there, it's by his mercy. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because the way I dress. It's not because, you know, what I do. It's because of his mercy and his grace. We've created a God here in America. We've made a God kind of like the Catholic Church did, which the Protestant Church is the daughter of the whore. The Bible speaks about the daughters of the whore in the book of Revelation. The Catholic Church is the great whore, the abomination. You say, man, I got Catholic friends. You need to be careful what you say. No, you need to be careful and try to get them out of the slop hole before they can find salvation. My wife was Catholic. I don't know if all the Catholic girls like her, but she needed to get born again after she met me. I might not have liked her if she was a Christian, but she probably wouldn't have been riding on the back of my motorcycle if she was a Christian. If she was in a Christian home, her daddy surely wouldn't let her go with me. Come on now. If daddy had any kind of discernment, she wouldn't have been with me. God had something else in store. Amen. We're just talking about minds for a moment. So we walk by faith, not by sight. That's a very difficult thing for a man to do. You see, the Bible said again, let this mind be in you also in Christ. The Bible talks about the transformation of mind. And you see, we got to learn to think differently. But if I go and be educated by the carnal mind, and I learn by the carnal mind, and the carnal things, and the carnal mind again is death, then I'm walking in death. I need to get born again. Amen? Put Romans 12:2 up, Brother Chuck, if you don't mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if he's asking us to transform something, that must mean he's not happy with it in its first original condition. Is that right? Now, he said he repented that he made man. He repented. He was sorrowful that he did. But he brought a plan of salvation for man. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. So without the renewing of your mind, you'll never prove what is acceptable will of God then. Is that correct? How do I renew my mind? I can't renew my mind by going to the College of America or any other part of the world. I can't renew my mind by thinking too highly of myself. The Bible said a man thinks that he knows something. And it goes on to say, but he doesn't know what he ought to know. So I found out in my former mind, as it spoke about in the previous scriptures, in my former mind, it's enmity with God. My former mind is an offense to God. My former mind is what brought the transgression and the fall in the garden. You understand that? In my originality, or the original part of man that God repented that he made. And man failed him. But he saved us. Well, how did he save us? So Jesus died on the cross for us. Shed his blood for us. I've been washed in the blood. You say, that's salvation. And I say, yea and amen. But then yet we have to also find that all of these scripture references come into place after what he done for you and I. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. So we find the Lord Jesus walking among men in a travail. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, travails. He was in a travail in his mind. He said, but not my will, but your will be done. Speaking to the Father. Let your will be done. Not mine. Not my will, but your will. Do you say that on a daily basis? Lord, I don't want my will. I don't want my desire. I don't want to walk in my ways. The Bible said man's ways lead to destruction, but God's ways lead to eternal life. So do you want your way? Your way's destruction. Your way's damnation. Your way's hell. But then yet there's a way of Christ. The way of Christ isn't popular today. The way of man is. You know why? Because Satan's the god of America, the god of this world. It's the Bible. It said Satan's the god of this world. So he has taken over this world. He's the god of it. He owns the airways. If you don't believe me, just turn on your televisions and you see filth and perversion and ungodliness and nakedness and everything that's perverted. Oh no, but Brother Rob, you know, you could turn on Christian education. That's the most filthy thing out there. These lying preachers on there and perverts, they leave their wives and get other men's wives and they leave this and that, and you're going to sit and listen to some pervert? Oh, but you got to have mercy. You know, Jesus loved them. Yeah, he loved them so much he gave his life. But when they do those things, the Bible teaches us what we do with them. They got to be removed. You know, there was a time in America, brethren, that if it would have been exposed of a president in sexual immoralities, he would have been moved out of the White House. And then we get pretty boys like Bill Clinton coming along. They make a mockery of the White House, made a mockery of America with his perversion. Say, you don't know your history very well, preacher. There's been a lot of immoral press. Sure there has. Goes all the way back to the garden. All men's hearts fashioned alike. All men have corrupted their way before God. You see, so, you know, you're not going to surprise me with anything. I know the mind of man and the mind of humanity, but we're talking about the mind of Christ. Again, this scripture right here, and it says, and be not conformed to this world. How can I be conformed to this world? Education. That's the whole purpose. Satan has taken over education. Martin Luther, the one that had protested against Catholicism, started the Protestant move back in the 1500s. He made a statement, a profound statement. He said that education will be the gateways to hell. And I can tell you this, thus saith the Lord, that the education system of America has transformed the mind to conform the mind of every child to think exactly the same. And it's against God, against godliness. A very wealthy man worth several million dollars. He's probably, Brother Andy, close to worth $100 million. Cock-a-doodle-doo. He won't buy himself out of hell. But he said Christianity's for weak, for people that need a crutch. You see, he's his own God, and money's his God. The mammon of finance and money's his God. That man's terrible. When Jesus ran into the rich man, and he told him, he said, go sell everything that you've got and come follow me. And the man said, you mean everything that my grandfather had worked for so hard? And my father? And you want me to go sell all that and come follow you? And you don't even got a place to lay your head. The fox has got a hole. The bird's got this, but you, the Son of Man, don't even have a place to lay your head. And you want me to sell all my wealth and riches? You see, we're not willing to do that, are we? To follow Jesus. I'm going to follow after my education. I'm going to follow after my brilliance. I'm going to follow after my smarts. But you know, the Bible said that your life is a vapor and a mist. You're here for a moment and then you're gone. You're just here for a moment. You're just here for a little time. The Bible said it's faster than a weaver's shuttle. You're just here for a moment. A vapor and a mist. You walk outside on a cold, wintry day. You blow out a little vapor and a mist. And watch it. Keep watching it for a moment. It don't hang out long and just fade away. That's your life. The Bible said man's like the flower of the field. He comes up in his glory just for a little bit. Boy, it's pretty, and then it fadeth away. That's man. It's appointed unto man to die, to go back to the dust. And then yet you're going to sell out this, maybe if you're blessed, 80 years for your desires, for your will, for your smarts, for your ambitions. Now you start understanding the Son of Man in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will. We walk by faith, not by sight. We submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to become as a little child to even enter into the kingdom. Amen. Or otherwise, he's angry with us and pursues us off the face of the earth. He said we're a stench in the nostrils. He said our life is like a dog going back and lapping up the vomit, or the pig going and rolling in the mire. When the woman come for the healing of her child, the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, he said to her, he said, it's not for the dogs. Call the woman a dog. But see, you got this Jesus that's just going to bring you into heaven despite of your foolishness and your ignorances and your lack of godliness and holiness and virtue. And he's just going to bring you in just because he's a good God. No, the good God took and gave his life that you could have life more abundantly. And then he gave you a minister to help you transform your mind into his mind. He said he sent the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He sent them. He sent them to bring the people to perfection. It teaches very clear in the Bible. So to perfect you, how do you perfect? By renewing your mind. Got to teach you, got to think differently. You got to walk differently. You got to talk differently. Oh, you might have said 5,500 what you call a sinner's prayer. Who taught you anything about a sinner's prayer? When the Bible said that his ears are closed to the cry of the sinner. So how does a sinner have a prayer? That's why he sent the fivefold ministry. The minister's got to remit their sins. That's what the Bible teaches. The last thing Jesus commissioned him to do. He said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. For what? The remission of sin. This is what we're commissioned to do. You got to get your sins remitted through the ministry before you could even have a prayer life and hear your prayer. And that's the Bible. But they don't want to teach you that. You don't need a preacher. Oh, just live the way you want. He loves you just the way you are. That's the biggest lie from hell there ever was. He's angry with you. He can't stand you. You're a stench in his nostrils. I could show you everything I just said in the Bible. Amen. But he loves me, Brother Rob. He does. He loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you and shed his blood. Yes. But then yet he said, go and tarry until you're endued with power. What is the power? To come out of the world and be ye a separate people. Amen. So we got to receive power. If you ain't got the power, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, without his spirit, you're none of his. How do I know I got his spirit, Brother Andy? How do I know I got his spirit, Brother Andy? How do I know that? Because I have his mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Amen. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what the Bible teaches. But we get into this carnal, religious state of mind that God loves me just the way I am. That's a very dangerous, dangerous place to be. If we go back one verse from this verse on the board here, it says, beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you know what a sacrifice is? Have you gave your life as a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto God. Holy. He wants a holy life to be given unto him. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good. Have you proved what is good to God? Or are you just trusting in your dried up prayer life? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. An acceptable and perfect will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Abstain from it. Stay clear of it. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, and understand what the will of the Lord is. When the Son of Man, the Son of God, walking, goes into the garden, and he's praying until he sweated drops of blood, and he says to the Lord God, he says, not my will, but your will be done. But he travailed for it. And we just walk in our desires and our wishes, and we do what we want to do, seeking after our own fame and popularity. God have mercy on us. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, do you think that you're saved if the love of the Father's not in you? We know better than that. But if we're in the world, it says that the love of the Father's not in us. Come on now. Are you in love with the world? Do you savor the things that be of this world? Is this where your ambitions and your lust and everything goes to this world? We're in trouble, saints. Now listen to this right here. I'm going to go all the way back down to verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. There's that sober again. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. To think soberly. To think soberly. Now when we go to drunkenness, we know that it's an uncontrollable mind, thinking too highly. Like the police officer told me, he said, liquid courage. So he's tanked up on alcohol. He thinks he can whip the whole police force, they say. Some punk kid going to fight the whole police force. Three or four or five officers out there, and you ain't going to do nothing. Oh, whoop your hind end. And they're looking at me, come on, kid, please. Just go get in the car, please. Pretty please. Think soberly. Are we sober enough to have the fear of God? And the Bible said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Just the beginning of wisdom. But do you see the fear of God in our nation? When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the perversion of sodomy, homosexuality, and destroys a people, and then yet we're changing the legislation in our country and the laws in our country, we're spitting in God's face. I talked to a registered nurse the other day when I was at the hospital with my father. Professed Christianity. I talked to several of them. I ended up spending a couple of weeks in the ICU down there with him. So I got to, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm always talking about the Word of God, challenging people and their love for the Word. And this RN said the thing that they hated the most about going to school for they could do what they loved to do was all the other trash that they had to be exposed to get the education they were seeking. You see, they don't allow you just to go and get educated in what you're pursuing. They're going to put all this other junk in because it's the way of Satan. Martin Luther had it right. He was a great man of God. The Lutheran church now is an abomination to God right now. They're ordaining queers and faggots. Come on now. I'm not going to use your term gay. I'm sorry if that offends you. They're not gay. Gay means happy. They changed the word. They want you to think they're happy. No, they ain't going to be happy in hell. So we just got to call it the way that it is. Well, the Bible said if you offend one of these little ones, you're better off to put a millstone around your neck. That's one of God's little ones. A queer is not one of God's little ones. Come on now. Are you saying that if they're queer, they can't be born again? And what I'm saying, they're not born again and they need to be born again. Now, when one comes to God and they're born again, they're doing their best to serve God and live right, those are the ones you don't want to offend. Some of you self-righteous think you're better than everybody. You could offend a little guy trying to walk in the Lord. He's doing the best that he knows, and you offend him because you're so much better than him. That's when you're better off to put a millstone around your neck. But offending a queer out there, or a whore, or a drunkard, that's not what he's talking about. Jesus spoke very offensive all the time. Bible said the minister's rude in speech, but now we're polished and politically correct. We think like Joel Osteen. Oh, God loves you just the way that you are. That man's the devil. He's of his father, the devil. The Bible said when they preach any other gospel than what Jesus Christ preached, the Bible said, let them be accursed. And he taught us as the ministers of God, he said, raise up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Amen. If you see evil coming to the city to cry out against her, the blood will be on your head. And we got to cry out against that kind of stuff. He's nothing but a hireling pretty boy. That's all he is and that's all he ever will be. Pray for his wretched lost soul. He's not a minister of God. The Bible said, you know, that they're called of God because they turn people from their sin. And when he said God loves them just the way they are, just listened to an interview with him 3 days ago. And he totally condoned the homosexual community. I heard it myself. I listened to it. He's a pervert. Brother Melvin High is a dear friend of mine. He's mad at me for speaking against Joel Osteen. Brother Melvin, I love you. Get over it. Amen. I preach against sin and I expose the work of darkness. And when a man's full of the devil, I'm going to point him out. Amen. Every time, especially when they call themselves a Christian. Amen. Thank you. I've turned back over to Romans in the 8th chapter. And it says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see the importance of having God dwelling in you? How do I know God's dwelling in me? Because you come into His mind. You've transformed your mind into His mind. You think like He thinks. You think like He thinks. The Bible said we got to come to the same judgment. You heard me judge Joel Osteen. You got to come to the same judgment with me if you're going to be a Christian. You say, well, what makes you think your judgment's right? Because it wasn't my judgment, it's the judgment of the Word of God. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And you heard the judgment of Christ. The Bible said, judge not lest you be judged. I've already been judged. And the Bible said, judgment begins right here at the house of God. The judgment begins right here in the house of God. I'm commanded to judge. The Bible said the least of you in the church. I'm just telling you the Bible. You'll listen to some reprobate theologian that don't know nothing, got some college education, and tell you that you can't judge. That's the biggest lie from hell ever was. He said the littlest or the least of you in the church should be able to judge any of the manners, all matters. And it said that you know what else you're going to do? He said you're going to judge the angels. Talking about the least in the house of God is going to judge the angels. You know, I've judged angels on a daily basis. Amen. See, you just think you know what an angel is. You think you know what an angel is, but you've been around too much stupidity. Well, Mama got in a car wreck back in 1933, and there was an angel appeared and they carried her out of the car, man. And all of a sudden, nobody could find it, nobody could see it. That's okay, I believe those things too. But that's so. That is so unlikely to the visitation of an angel for you and me. You realize that? The angel of the Lord is here tonight. Beware when you entertain strangers, the Bible says. Beware, because you may be entertaining an angel. And you say, you mean that man might be an angel? Well, let me tell you something. You need to beware of what you think about Brother Rob's preaching tonight. Because it may not be Brother Rob's preaching, it may be the angel of the Lord in me. What do you think the being filled with the Holy Ghost is? The Bible, we just read it right there, said without His Spirit, you're none of His. Okay? The Bible says that we are alive in Christ. Amen? We've been buried with Him in baptism, and we resurrect with Him in the newness of life. We come with a new transformed mind. We come with a new vision of sight. We walk by faith, but not by sight. It's talking about we lose this natural sight. We lose the sight of lust of this world, the prestige of this world, the fame and popularity this world brings when you put your name up in the lights. I was talking with a sister, Brother Jeff was telling his mother, you know, Brother Rob's brother's movie star out in Hollywood. He's a Hell's Angel also. But you know what he thinks of Hollywood? Now this is a carnal-minded man. He's not a Christian. He doesn't think like a Christian. He curses every other word that comes out of his mouth is filthy. But he said, man, I hate Hollywood. It's full of nothing but a bunch of queers. He said, the whole thing's being run by queers. Now you'll start understanding why you turn on your TV shows and you got two men kissing, two women, and they're showing all this filth because it's a perverted mind. They're not in the mind of Christ. They're promoting a secular mind of humanism, a secular mind of death and carnality, and you sit and absorb it, and you feed on it, and then you think you got the mind of Christ, and think that you're born of God, and you think you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. You'll perish and die and go to hell. I'm telling you, come on, somebody should say amen or oh me. Come on, saints. We're talking about the Word of God here tonight. We're talking about people perishing and going to hell because they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have the mind. So the Bible said He'll give us the fruit of our thoughts. What does that mean, Brother Rob? If you're thinking on the world with the love of the world, you'll die with the world and you'll die with your God, the God of this world, Satan. But He said, come out of the unclean thing. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Touch it not. So why should I look to the world for my strength? Why should I look to the world for my help? Why should I do that? I can't. But they're changing the laws in our land. They're pressing us from the left and from the right. You know, we read stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they had to defy the ruling power of the land, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Praise God for faith in God. But are you there? The government's pressing in on us because we got perverts and lesbians taking over America. They're voting in mayors and governors all over in perversion. They got a queer mayor down in Houston. They're trying to pass laws and they're trying to tell people that the preachers got to start handing in their sermon notes for they could be approved. Come on now. You know what I think about that? I'll bring you some sermon notes. They threw me off the radio down here. They wanted to see my sermon notes. That's the truth. They said, you know, you need to back off. You preach like them old-time preachers. We want a little bit more of a conservative message. I gave them a conservative message. They needed a conservative message. They need to conserve the mind of Christ and keep the mind of the Lord. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. What does that mean? The first man, Adam, the Bible said, was a living soul. The second man was a quickening spirit. If you ain't received that quickening of his spirit, you will perish in the earth. And you'll be relative to the dust of this earth. It's appointed you to go back to dust. That's in your first birth. But you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. And if you're born of the Spirit, you got to bring the fruit of it. If there's no fruit, this Bible says that the tree is hewed down by the root. You take an axe and lay it to the root tree. The tree will be hewed down if it doesn't have fruit on it. So you say, well, I'm a Christian. I say, where's your fruit? What do you mean, where's my fruit? Where's godliness? Where's holiness? Where's the love of God? You say, well, you know, I just love everybody. I could just go and just blend in with anybody. I could just love everybody. That's the fruit of the Spirit. No, you're misunderstanding. The Bible said two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And it says if you even sit down and eat with them, that you will stand the judgment with them. Do you realize that? That you will stand the judgment with them if you even sit and eat with them. I could show you those things in the Bible. You prove me wrong. I like that. I had a man come behind a sacred desk over there in Arkansas. And I was getting ready to preach. He gets up behind there. And he was a song leader. And he says, I'm going to let y'all know something. He goes, I did not like Rob Coons. He said, he made me so mad last time he was here. And he said, I went home and I got in my Bible and I was going to prove him wrong. And the more I read, the more I seen it, he was right. And the man went and got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. He wanted to do it the old dried up Baptist way, Trinitarian way. The Catholic way. And you've been baptized in the name of the title of Father and the title of Son and the title of Holy Ghost. There's no remission in those names. There's a remission only in the name of Jesus. Well, I don't think baptism's necessary. Then you better read your Bible. The Bible teaches very clearly. It teaches very clearly. Jesus himself took time to be baptized, and you need to do it too. If our Lord and God come walked among men and took time to be baptized, you need to also. Amen. Brother Chuck, put Mark 16:16 on the board, and we're going to close right directly. Just to give you some scripture for what I just said. It says, he that believeth and is baptized, he that believeth and considers that he might need to be baptized, no. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So which part of that do you want to remove? You say, well, I got to believe. Well, the devil believes with fear and trembling. So we got to go a little farther than disbelieving, don't we? Maybe we need some baptism with our believing. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Well, I know some that went and got baptized and they still lived like dogs and devils and drunks. I said, yeah, I know some of them too. Doesn't change the fact that the word of God is yea and amen. My grandfather said, man, I'm not going to go over to that church, man. It's full of hypocrites. Them people don't live right. Well, so what? If you go over there with them, you just make one more hypocrite over there. Might as well have a party with it, huh? Come on. Amen. Jesus chose 12 and one was the devil. I ain't following that guy right there that calls himself God. I'm not going to follow him. That old Judas ain't right. Didn't change the fact that that was God. They took and crucified him. Amen. It ain't your business to look at everybody over there and their failures and stuff. The thing you need to look at is in the mirror and say, God, have mercy on me. I need to get born again. I need to get right with God. I need to get rid of this old carnal mind. I need to get this thing out of my way. And I need to let Jesus live. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We find ourselves in a continual warfare, continual travail. We find a dispute for who's going to be running the camp right here. Brother Rob here. I could talk about me or I could talk about you. You say, I'd rather you talk about you. Well, the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, this is a man, one of the greatest, most powerful men of God ever. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from the body of death? So you yourself are in the same travail he's in. You got a man, you got a mind of your own. It has a desire and a will of its own. It wants to fulfill its desires and its pleasures. You know why I know you're like that? Because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. I want my own thing. I want my own business. I want my own house. I want my own car. I want this. I want this. I want this. Those are all fleshly things. And those are the desires of the flesh. And they'll put you in hell. You say, well, Brother Rob, we got to have those things. The Bible said we seek after those things for our neighbor. And he adds them to us. Come on now. You seek after them for yourself, you'll get them and gain them. That's your heaven. That's your God. That's your reward. But when you seek after the kingdom first, and he adds those things to you, it's different. It's not a curse then. Then it's a blessing. How many want the blessing?
Amen.
I want the blessing. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much. God loved you so much that he gave his son that you can have life. But you got to go farther than that. You got to go farther than that. Well, I just got to believe. Well, the Bible said you got to believe and be baptized. But then the Bible says this, that without faith, no man will please God. And the Bible teaches without faith, it'll be imputed to you as sin. Well, how do I know if I have faith? Because faith is perfected by works. Faith is made perfect by works. If you don't have any works, you have no faith. But then yet a man could have works without faith. But you can't have faith without works. Because faith without works is considered dead. And dead faith will not save you. Amen? Dead faith will not save you. You have to have faith or to be imputed to you as sin. What is sin? The sting of death. But the Bible said we pass from death unto life. That's when we're born again. Well, how do I know I'm born again, Brother Rob? Well, I think a mother knows when she's carrying a child. Now, the thing is that you being the bride of Christ and you're going to bring forth the Christ child, you're going to know because you're in a travail. The Apostle Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. If there's no travail, there's no birth. So have you travailed to bring forth Christ in your life? To travail to bring forth the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of revelation? Have you sought after your will, your desires, and your pleasures, or sought after the kingdom of God and the will of God? You see, when he ran across the rich man, he said, sell everything, come follow me. What if he said that to you today? Would you give me that $400 piece of junk hubcap lost car that you got? Oh, no way, this is the only one I got. You wouldn't give up a... And it'd be broken, the mule pulling it. You say, I ain't giving it, it's the only thing I got. I'm laughing with you and at you and at me too. Oh, we want to think we're Christians. We want to talk like we're a Christian. You know, oh, we're America. You know, we're Americans, man. We're all Christians, born in a Christian nation. If this is a Christian nation, you're in trouble. America's not a Christian nation. They removed God out of their schools back in the 60s. You can't even pray. Now, would a Christian nation do that? Would a Christian nation pass laws to murder children in the womb? Would a Christian nation do that? Would a Christian nation make it legal for a man to marry a man and a woman marry when God destroyed people for that very same thing? So we call ourselves a Christian nation? We know better than that, saints of God. Well, what are we? The only chance that we've got is to be born again. And when you're born again, the Bible said you're an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador means that you're not of this world. You're of God. You're from heaven. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. He said He hides us away in heavenly places. Our name is put in the book of life. We're not of this world. We're not seeking for fame and popularity. We're passing through this world. It is not our home. We're here in the affairs of God to bring the good news and glad tidings to people. We dress holy because we're reaching people, looking for people. We don't want to offend people. Like I said, the man come out the door with no shirt on, smoking a cigarette, and called himself a minister. He had nothing he could say to me because of that. So I don't want to be that man. So I dress according to godliness, like the Bible said. The Bible said to present your body, your soul, and your spirit. People say, well, God just looks on the heart. He does look on the heart, but you're wrong. He said, present your body, soul, and spirit holy. So I got to make a presentation with a clean heart, clean life, clean spirit, holy. I got to make with my body. I got a dress that pertaineth to godliness, the Bible says. Amen? So the thing is in our discussion today, we're talking about profiling. You see, people are going to profile you. And if you look like the world, they're going to think you're of the world. You understand that? Worldly expressions, you walk like a duck, you talk like a duck, you are a duck. You quack like a duck, you are a duck, or whatever. Amen? Amen? I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to fashion myself after the world. Come out and be a separate people. Peculiar, the Bible said. It said you as Christians are peculiar people. You know why the world thinks you're peculiar? Because you don't walk like them, talk like them, look like them, nor think like them. The Bible said that you and I have got to come into the same mind. The same judgment. We don't pierce each other through. We see eye to eye. We don't break ranks. You see, this is the mind of a Christian. It's my obligation to bring you into that kind of thinking. Because if you don't think like he thinks, you will perish and go to hell. That's why he said, transform your mind. We read it tonight. To renew your mind, to transform your mind. There's one other scripture I want to read. Go ahead and stand with me, for you know we're closing. Ephesians 4:23, Brother Chuck. You can put it on the board there. I'll just read it from there. Saying the same thing. Some say renew the mind, but this one here says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A man could walk up to you in a vile conversation out of his mouth, you know his mind. I come up to people sometimes, Brother Henry, I'll be out on a job or something, and I'll go out there and walk up and be a few men on a job, construction guys or whatever. Hey, blankety blank this and blankety blank that and dust and dust and this and that and cursing and snorting like a just puking out their mouth. You say, well, you, Mr. Preacher, you too religious for that? No, I'm accustomed to what a pig smells like. I know what a dog smells like when it laps up vomit. And I'll say something like this to them. Hey, how you guys doing today? Praise the Lord, man. Isn't God good? And they look at you. Say, man, we're trying to do something for the Lord, man. God's good, amen. Praise God, man. He is so good like that. And all of a sudden, hey, you a Christian? Hey, brother, how you doing? And they shake hands. Yeah, I go to church. You know? And I'm 5 minutes before that, he's filthy talking and cursing. And has anybody else experienced that? Come on, if you're out trying to do something for God, you're going to experience it all the time. And I'm thinking, wow, I just transformed a pig. Come on now. The Bible said the sow will go back to the mire. So I was talking to the pig nature that was puking and stuff there just a few minutes ago. And all of a sudden, now they're sanctified. I put some silk pink underwear on a hog. And as soon as I leave, they're going to go right back to the vomit. He can't stand that. He said, woe unto you that are given to change. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. In other words, we need to be in a Christ-like mind all the time, Brother Ed. We need to be thinking on the things from above. We need to be speaking about the things that are beautiful and clean and pure and godly and holy all the time. But if we're thinking about the slop hole of this world and we're rolling in it all the time, we're going to perish with it. Come out of it. You say, well, you come against education. I never came against education. I came against the mind that they're putting in you in the education world. Like I said, I talked to the RN down there. They love their job. They love being an RN. I'm thankful for good doctors and RNs. They were taking care of my father. I'm thankful they were educated. They said, the only thing I hated is all the slop that I had to go through to get my degree for I could do this job. They said they hated all the things that they had to go through. The mind and all the stuff to be politically correct. And what happens is you take and they keep putting a mind in you. Say, I'm trying to put the mind of Christ in you tonight. I'm trying to get you to transform your mind and think like Him. But the world, Satan, the mirror side, he wants you to think like the world. He wants you to think like the politicians. He wants you to think like the TV evangelists because he owns them. The Bible said the ministers of Satan. The ministers of Satan have transformed their minds, the Bible said. You see, they'll talk like a Christian's supposed to talk. They transform their mind. Is that what you're wanting us to do, Brother Rob? The thing is he said, let this mind be in you. You see, there's a difference when you're filled with the Spirit. But when you just transform your mind into His mind, then it's an intellect. But you got to transform your thinking to become one with Him that you could receive the infilling of His Spirit. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what they ask. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that's in the earth today. And if you don't have God's Spirit in you, then there's no hope for you. You have to be filled with His Spirit or there's no life in you. And when you get filled with His Spirit, that Spirit comes alive in you in the resurrection because you're the children of the resurrection in your new birth. And the old man, John Whitlow, Brother Rob Coons, has to die. And every single day, I got to kill out my ambitions, my desires, and my wants. I got to kill it and let Christ live. Yeah, but I got needs, preacher. You know, I need cars and I need homes and I need education. You know, and I need this. I say, praise God, don't you think that this God that created everything can give you everything that you need? Yes. He can. He could bring you into such a mind of revelation that astounds the wise. Come on now. Don't limit your God. Again, I'm not against being educated for a purpose and a cause. But don't lose your soul in it. Don't lose your mind in it. Don't lose your life in it. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. Thank you for the time tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The altars are open this evening.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord.
Restore.
going to operate in the Word of God tonight. If you're sick among us, you're commanded to come forward in the church. Let the elders anoint them with oil. Says that oil have healing in it? No. But the virtue of God still heals today. The baptism doesn't have the ability to remit your sin, but it's the action of fulfilling the Word of God and taking a man and baptizing him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin is what remits the sin. It's faith. And tonight, by being obedient to the Word and letting him come forward into the church and anointing him with oil, Brother Manny, get some oil here. Brother Jeff. We're going to anoint this little sister. Bible teaches that they shall receive, they shall be healed. Amen. Yes, most gracious Father, I rebuke this sickness right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I rebuke you, Satan, you're the father of all lies. And I say you cannot touch this, my sister, in the name of my Lord and Savior. I rebuke this sickness, this infirmity. I rebuke this fever right now in Jesus' name. And I say that it must depart and must leave. And whatever the infection is that's in this body to cause this, I rebuke it. And I say, be whole in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord God, for the healing virtue of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Almighty God, that you're still healing and moving and delivering and setting captives free tonight in Jesus Christ's name. I thank you, Lord, that the virtue of my Lord and Savior has done its job tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Touch your Lord God. Touch your Lord God. Touch your Lord God. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Seek not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
To me, the joy of thy salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Sister Felicia said that she had run a fever. Carried on and said that she had run a fever. I'm not this much.
She what?
We'll be able to get him to the hospital when
our brother gets here. So we don't have any. Yeah. No, that's not going to happen. Amen. Let's pray for this baby. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the Word of God. We don't go through the motions. We've seen God deliver so many sicknesses and people with sicknesses and things here. Even the Lord himself, God, when he walked among men and said there wasn't many miracles wrought at Nazareth because of people's unbelief. But it's wonderful to be around people that believe in the Word. Amen. Amen. We see God vindicate his Word and we say things happen. Father, as I pray for this little child right now in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus, I rebuke this sickness in Jesus' name. And I say, Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that this baby will not be sick. That this baby will not be given to the plagues of this stripped throat. I say in my name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God, that your works were good enough. That beating upon your back, those stripes, was for this little sister's healing. And Father, I thank you in the name of my Lord and Savior that this little child is healthy and well. And I rebuke again this sickness, and I thank you, Jesus, that she will not be sick in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. How's her mama doing tonight? Oh, my. remember her in prayer too. Amen. I heard you're dealing with a little illness, huh? Amen. We don't have to receive this, do we? Amen. We're going to trust the Lord. Bring that pancreas in order. Bring that blood sugar in order. How high was it? Wow. Let me get some more oil here. Amen. Are they wanting to put you on insulin? Taking a shot already? And, amen. Sister Gail's son's pancreas was all leading up with cancer. Prayed for that, and God fixed it. Amen. Oh, he's a diabetic, but he wasn't supposed to live. You know what I'm saying? Thank God for insulin, brother. I thank God for that, but I thank God for the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Let me have your hands. Let me have both of them. Most gracious Father, as I pray for this, my brother, in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, I know that this body is wonderfully made, Lord God. Father, I thank you for medications and healing medicines. But Father, I want to praise you for the antidote of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you're on the throne and moving in the affairs of your people, Lord God. And Father, Satan is trying to take a shot at this brother and his wife and his family, Lord God. I rebuke him in Jesus' name. He can't touch or harm God's elect. Father, nothing that could happen in this world can faze our faith in you. Father, as I see a man willing to stand unmovable before my Lord and Savior, thanking and praising him, Lord God. Oh, Father, when the doctors gave me different kind of death sentences, I just praised you, Lord God, and said your word is real. And Father, as I find the same faith in this, my brother, in Jesus Christ's name, Lord God, knowing that he can endure the hardships as a good soldier, Lord God, and endure, Father, and press his way into the kingdom, Father, not mattering what any weapon that would form against him shall not prosper in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord God. I praise your holy name, Lord God, the name of Jesus. I praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Love you, man.
Six. I exalt thee, O Lord.
This little preacher wants prayer now. What's up, little man? Do you want some prayer? What's up? Did you come up for prayer? What kind of prayer you need? You're not sure, you just want prayer? Well, I'll pray with you. Most gracious Father, I thank you for this, my little brother. I thank you, Lord, for children's hearts. I thank you, Lord God, for simple faith, Lord, in your word. Father, I ask you to bless this, my little brother, Father. Keep a special hedge of protection around his little mind and his heart. Don't let him be harmed by the worldly things, Lord God, that he could make a decision as a very young little man to serve you, to walk with you, to fellowship with you, to pray to you. Lord God, let him be a light in this world of darkness. I thank you for him, Lord God. Keep him in perfect health. In the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I exalt thee.
Let's praise him, saints.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
There'll be some brethren working around the church tomorrow. If you can find the time to commit some works unto the Lord. Need in prayer? This little man's going to keep on praying for Uncle JT until the man gets filled with the Holy Ghost and born again. I like that. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Uncle JT. Amen. Most gracious Father. Father, I remember laying hands on his wife in these altars, Lord God, not too many months back, speaking a word by faith, Lord God, in your finished work at Calvary. Father, and we could see that man by faith in God, see him through the finished, completed works of Christ. Father God, I say visit him in his sleep. Father, make him miserable, Lord God. Father God, rob him of his rest and his sleep and make him restless and tormented, Lord God, until he repents and falls on his face before you. Lord God, the things that he seeks of the natural world, the carnal things, blow on him, Lord God. Father, let the success run from him. Let health run from him. Let happiness run from him. Until he falls on his face and repents of his sins and gets born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that he could serve you with might and power and strength. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers, Lord God. Oh, Father, we're not cursing, we're blessing him, Lord God. Father, knowing that his ways will put him in hell, put him in damnation and destruction through all of eternity. But Father God, let him suffer in this short time, in this short world, that he could come to know you and cease from sin. Burn his fields, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Praise God, amen. That's the way you pray for the heathen, amen. The Bible said you heap coals of fire on his head. That's what the word says, amen. Hallelujah. And you'll get to see him repent of his sins and come to the kingdom, because we didn't ask God the blessing, we asked him to burn his fields, amen. Praise God, amen. That's why we pray for my son Robert. God, burn his fields, blow on his substance, blow on his business, blow on his endeavors until he repents and gets out of his hard-headed life and comes to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He knows the Bible, he can talk about it, he knows the word, he just don't want to line up and live with it. Your knowledge of our Savior doesn't what saves you. It's having his spirit. Yeah. And he ain't going to give his spirit to just any. You got to get washed and cleansed in the blood. Amen. Amen. That's the way to pray. You need to pray for your mama and say, Mama, pray, Lord God, burn mama's fields. Amen. Burn her fields until she falls on her face. Let her suffer. I've said, them that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. Amen. You say, brother, preacher, you can't talk like that. Would you rather them just live in their health and feel good and go to hell? If you could see them burning in eternal damnation, if you could see them burning in hell, you would wish that some preacher was praying that God would burn their fields. The Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. When your sins go before, you know what happens? God chastens you and burns your fields. He said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. What do you think that fire is? It burns all them unclean things out of your life. Amen? Those ones when your sins go before you. But when they go after you is when you stand before him and he says, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, depart from me. That's when your sins go after you. You understand that? So let him go before and pay the price on this side and then repent of your sins and call on Jesus. Oh, while you're rich and wealthy and healthy, you won't call on him. You'll wait until you're old and in your old age and some sickness strikes the liver. And then you say, oh, God, help us. I mean, he's going to spit in your face and say, you wretched dog, you should have served me like the Bible said in your youth. People think they got breath-dead repentance. Oh, as long as I got breath, there's hope. That's another lie from hell. Come on now. He said he's angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face. Esau sought him with bitter tears of repentance and he couldn't find it. The Bible said his spirit doesn't always strive with man. And the people that sold their house and gave him most of the money, but they held some back when they said they gave it all, they fell dead right in the church, on the floor of the church, fell over dead. Come on, you need to learn what kind of God we're serving. You've made a God up in your own little mind, and you got him just being this God that loves you just the way you are. He don't like you.
Amen.
He can't stand you.
Amen.
Repent of your sins, and then you'll be the apple of his eye. He's looking for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The one that he shed his blood for. Amen? You say, that's me. Then the Bible said, make that calling and your election sure by bringing forth the fruit of holiness, the fruit of godliness, the righteousness of Christ. Don't think you got some kind of little prayer that you said is going to bring you in. If it was that easy, I'd have every one of you repeating a prayer with me tonight. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm not mocking that, my friend. But the Bible said man's heart's continually evil and wicked. It's divisive. He doesn't even know his own heart. So how are you going to pray in your heart? It says, believe in your heart and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. But if your heart's continually evil and wicked, then how's your heart going to believe? You better get some help from a preacher that has faith in God that could lay hands on you and impart the Holy Ghost in you. And that's going to come through repentance. And until you repent of your sins, you got no chance. Well, I ask him to forgive me of my sin. Then why you keep living therein? That's the dog going back to the vomit. All right. Let's sing All Praise Him. I appreciate you coming out the house of God. I love you and appreciate you. Amen. Trust the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. You love him? God's good. We'll get Brother Josh to come up and dismiss us. Praise the Lord. Worship him. Fall in love with him. Talk to him. Pray to him. Let him be the preeminent thing in your life. The Bible said we pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Fall in love with Jesus. Let him be your Lord and God. Brother Josh.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.